Call the meeting to order. This is the August 24th meeting of the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals. I'm James Corsi, Chairman of the Zoning Board. Maybe all rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice for all. Thank you. All right. Let's take a roll call. Mr. Pelote, are you here?
Present.
All right, Mr. Nutrica.
Here.
Ms. Stone.
Here.
And the chairman is present. At the present time, we have six board members, one rotated off her term. So four of the six are present, so we have a quorum. All right. Regarding the approval of the minutes of the last meeting, which I believe was on July 27th, have the board members had an opportunity to review the minutes from July 27th? Are there any suggested edits or modifications? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the July 27th minutes?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Nutrica moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Let me have a roll call vote. Mr. Nutrica?
Aye.
Mr. Pelote?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Aye.
And chairman votes aye. The July 27th minutes are approved as written. All right. This morning, Mr. Lotson is here on behalf of the Chatham County Development Services and the MPC, and will be representing Chatham County in these matters. So I understand we have two matters on the agenda this morning. Mr. Lotson, are we prepared to go forward?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you will, the first petition, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item that the board will hear today is an appeal to a determination made by the Chatham County Zoning Administrator regarding property at 2302 East Gwinnett Street. I want to share with you an aerial photograph of the subject property. This property is at the terminus of East Gwinnett Street. It's the former Daniel Lumber Company site that existed at that location since the 1950s and is no longer used by that company, however. And this is a map of the subject property. You can see East Gwinnett Street that ends here at the marsh, and this is the subject property. The reason for the appeal is because the petitioner today is a company called Repurpose Savannah. Repurpose Savannah is an organization that provides services regarding preservation of structures that include structural removal of bricks, lumber, and other building materials during the deconstruction of a building. They were using this site, or are using this site, for those purposes. Their business model includes deconstructing buildings on site, bringing those materials to this property, and then repurposing those materials for other uses. They have been operating on the site and realized, or were told perhaps, that they did not have a business tax certificate or a business license from the governing authority. And they were thinking that this property was in the city of Savannah, but technically, or not technically, actually, it's in the unincorporated area. This is a portion of the city that has not been annexed. So they went to Chatham County and requested a license. Upon review of the site and the previous use, the zoning administrator determined that the use of the property was not permitted under the current zoning. The property is zoned residential. It has always been zoned residential since the introduction of zoning in Chatham County. And although the specific business model is not identified in the county ordinance, the zoning administrator classified the business as a contracting and repair services business. And made the determination that that use is not a permitted use in the zoning district. This is a letter provided to the applicant by Chatham County regarding that decision. That letter is dated July 1st. Per Section 8-3 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance, limitations on the use of a building or land by nonconforming use, that section states that attractive land which has housed a nonconforming use shall not be reopened to a nonconforming use after it has remained vacant for a period of 6 months. This section further states, however, that the Zoning Board of Appeals may be authorized or may authorize the reuse of the building after it has been vacant for greater than 12 months if the building has not been subsequently redesigned to house other uses, and the use is found not to be detrimental to the adjacent uses or adverse to the livability of the area's residential land uses. Going back to this map, as you can see, primarily in the vicinity of the subject property is a combination of some vacant properties to the north, but primarily a single family residential neighborhood around west and south of the subject property. The previous business on the site, as I mentioned, was Daniel Lumber Company. It was used as a lumber yard and is considered non-conforming because it was not allowed under the R1 zoning. Regarding appeals, Section 10-4.4 of the ordinance states that the Board of Appeals may, in conformity with provisions of the regulations, reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination by the zoning administrator. And to that end, shall have all the powers of the zoning administrator. The Board of Appeals may direct issuance of a permit, in other words, and it shall be the duty of the zoning administrator to carry out the decision of the board. So in this case, where a appeal has been filed in due time, as it has by the applicant, the board is tasked with hearing the testimony of the applicant and any stakeholders who are party to this and making a decision regarding the zoning administrator's determination. For the record, we did receive a number of correspondences regarding this petition, both in support and in opposition. I'm going to share those now. This is a letter from Brian Mulsing, who is a neighbor of the property. And this is a letter in support. In addition, this is a series of similar letters from other stakeholders and supporters of Repurpose Savannah that have signed in support of this application. We've got one from Historic Savannah.
There appear to be letters in support from a number of different entities, including Woda Cooper Companies,
sir.
Historic Savannah Foundation, AIA Savannah, Emergent Structures, T.H. Gary Lumber Company, and the NAWIC, the National Association of Women in Construction.
Yes, sir.
The ones I have in my packet.
That's correct. In addition to that, I also want to share this email I received from a resident and Coast that was also signed by three other residents who live across Gwinnett Street from the subject property. And this is a letter in opposition to the applicant's request.
All right. Does any board member have any questions of staff before we turn it over to the petitioner?
Mark, when did Gary Lumber cease operation at the site, and when did Repurpose start operation at the site?
Oh, I'm sorry. Turn your microphone on.
The other one.
Oh, when did Gary Lumber cease operations at this site, and when did Repurpose start operations at this site?
Mr. Notrika, I'm going to probably think it'd be better served to defer those questions, the one question, to the zoning administrator regarding the former lumber yard. My records indicate that it's been more than 12 months ago. I suspect it's been longer than that, and I'll let him answer that. As to Repurpose, I think we should direct that question to their petitioner, their representative, Mr. Yellen.
Thank you.
They were operating for some period of time prior to the knowledge of the governing body. So,
all right. Any other questions of Mr. Lotson before we move on to the petitioner? All right, Mr. Yellen, on behalf of the petitioner, go forward, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Josh Yellen, representing the property owner of 2302 East Gwinnett, Mr. Harry Rosenzweig, along with the tenant of the property, Repurpose Savannah, which is a local nonprofit engaged in the deconstruction and salvaging of historic structures around the city and the community. And Mr. Lotson, is it possible to do a screen share?
Give us 1 second, Mr. Yellen.
Thank you. And I'm not sure. Are y'all seeing my screen? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And yes, it has the stages map. Perfect. Thank you. And so once again, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the property owner of 2302 East Gwinnett Street. And so for a little background of this property, as Mr. Lotson mentioned, we are right on the border between unincorporated Chatham County and the city of Savannah. And for many years, this property, I believe since the 1950s, was owned and operated by Daniel Lumber as a quote unquote lumber yard. Initially, when we had put in a variance request, we had requested a reinstatement of a non-conforming use under section 10-6.3 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance to request a variance from the standard that required non-conforming uses to be reopened with 1 year. Based upon our belief, Daniel Lumber's use of the property as a, once again, quote unquote, lumber yard, because the term and the use lumber yard does not exist in the Chatham County Ordinance, and Repurpose's use of the property as a lumberyard were substantially similar. And just want to point out, this is how it was configured in 2003 when Daniel Lumber was in full use of the property. And so that being said, our proposed variance request to reinstate the use after the 12-month period had been expired was pulled based upon a zoning determination letter, which determined that Repurpose's business model was not in fact a lumber yard, but should be considered contracting and repair services. We then appealed this decision to you, from the zoning administrator to you. So in any event, this application was going to come before the Zoning Board of Appeals of Chatham County, whether as an appeal from the zoning administrator or as a straight variance request. We are each trying to accomplish the same goal. And so as Mr. Lotson mentioned, Section 83B4 of the Zoning Ordinance specifically authorizes you, the Zoning Board of Appeals, to authorize the reuse of a building after it's been vacant for greater than 12 months if, one, the building has not been subsequently redesigned to house other uses, and two, if the use is found not to be detrimental to the adjacent uses or adverse to the livability of the area's residential uses. First and foremost, we believe that Daniel Lumber and Repurpose offer substantially the same services and use, regardless of the classification. If you want to call this use lumberyard, sale of building supplies, or if the county wants to call it wholesale building and electrical related activities, contract and repair services, or the retail sale of building materials, we believe that Daniel Lumber and Repurpose, albeit on a vastly different scale, are offering the same service. When you look at Daniel Lumber's old listings for the property, it was described as building supplies. When you look at Daniel Lumber's website currently, they discuss the sale of lumber, plywood, building products, but also millwork and hardware, cabinets, countertops, backsplashes and walls, basically building supply sales with limited contracting. This is the same type of activity that is currently engaged by Repurpose Savannah, albeit as a nonprofit, where we offer, we offer the wholesale sale of lumber supply, custom working, but the difference being that our products at Repurpose come from Structural Remover. They come from the nonprofit salvaging and demolishing off-site historic structures, then bringing them on-site, as opposed to Daniel Lumber buying lumber directly from the sawmill and the lumber yards and then bringing it on-site. At the end of the day, though, the uses are very similar. And so, since we believe that this past use and the current use are substantially the same, this board, as has been mentioned, can reinstate the use, provided that the buildings have not been redesigned and that the use is not detrimental to the neighbors. Regarding the redesign of the existing buildings on site, I will simply state that they have not been redesigned since Daniel Lumber. As you can see here, from 2009, this was the configuration with Daniel Lumber. We have the open lot, and we have the buildings used for the storage of building materials. Here today, we have the open lot, albeit in much different condition, along with the buildings that are used for the storage of materials. Second, as was mentioned, that you can reinstate this use if it is not detrimental to the adjacent users or the livability of residents in proximity to the site. I want to point out that we contend that Repurpose's operation is one of the lowest impact uses in the area. I believe it's definitely more impact than if this site were to be redeveloped as the 15 or so single family homes that you could put on site. The use is screened on all sides by roads and marshes. Here, and I'm just showing you some photos of the operations to show you how low impact it is. All sales are done via appointment only. There are typically less than 4 vehicles on the site at any time. Lumber delivery from the houses that are taken down and brought on site occur via pickup truck and trailer, not via larger delivery trucks. This is not a very intensive use. It is not very detrimental or detrimental at all to the neighbors. To recap, Repurpose's use is the same nonconforming use as Daniel Lumber, albeit much less intensive. The ZBA may reauthorize a nonconforming use if buildings have not been redesigned to house other uses and if the use is found not to be adverse to adjacent neighbors. As we have shown, and as others will discuss, this use is incredibly low impact, is not adverse to the neighbors, and no redesign of the buildings have occurred. For these reasons, we respectfully request that you approve our request and authorize the reuse of the property by Repurpose Savannah under Section 83B4 of the Chatham County Ordinance. And I do want to mention that additionally, we have on the line with us today, both Mae Bowley, who is the Executive Director of Repurpose Savannah, and Claire Official, who is the President of the Board of Directors. They are here to answer any and all questions that you may have. And I think it is important, however, if I can turn it over to them to talk a little bit more about the mission of Repurpose as a nonprofit and why this use is a good use, not only for the city of Savannah, but is a good use for the neighborhood as well. And with that, I do respectfully request that you approve of this variance application.
Are there any questions of Mr. Yellen before we move on to his client's testimony? Mr. Yellen, this is Chairman. One question. Did you say that you represent the owner or the tenant?
I'm here on behalf of the owner of the property, who has a very close relationship with the tenant. And so he has authorized us to come and speak on their behalf. Okay. On the tenant.
This is a legal question, I guess. Who is the applicant for the business license, the owner or the tenant?
The tenant had applied for the business license. With the variance running with the property, we're here on behalf of the property owner.
Does that present a standing problem?
Mr. Chairman, it's not unusual for us to hear cases where the owner and the applicant are not the same person, as long as the owner has given permission for the applicant to seek such relief. And per their application, there is a signed affidavit from the property owner to allow the applicant to be before you today.
Okay. And Mr. Yellen, is there such a signed authorization in existence?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can we get a copy of that for the record, please?
Yes, sir. Staff does have that on file.
Do have that on file? Okay. Thank you. Then any other questions of Mr. Yellen before we move forward? All right, Ms. Fischel, I believe.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Before you get started, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you out?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Clara Fischel. I'm the president of the board of directors of Repurpose Savannah. I am really just going to turn it over to our executive director, May Bowley, but we'll be here in support of her as well as to answer questions.
And your executive director's name is who?
May Bowley.
Bowley, B-O-L-E-Y?
B-O-W-L-E-Y.
Okay, B-O-W-L-E-Y. Yeah. Is Ms. Bowley available?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Ms. Bowley, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. If you would, please go ahead.
Sure. I would just like to thank you all for taking the time to hear us today. I'm going to quickly run through a few slides. I believe I'm going to have to ask you, Josh, to switch them. Yes?
Yes, I can assist with that.
Okay, you can go ahead to the next slide. Very briefly, I just want to talk about our mission, which is to provide a sustainable alternative to conventional demolition, to preserve historic materials and place-based histories that would otherwise be lost to the landfill, and to elevate women in the male-dominated construction industry. You can go to the next slide. We do this because construction and demolition is one of the largest contributors to landfilling in North America, generates more than twice as much as all municipal solid waste. Next slide, please. The average American house is roughly the same amount of weight as an entire person's lifetime's worth of garbage. So every house that we keep out of the landfill, we're offsetting an entire American lifetime. That can have a really big impact on environmentalism and sustainability in our community. Also, all that garbage isn't garbage. It's really wonderful to see it become a resource for our local communities to help keep their homes in good repair. We offer materials on a varying level of quality, some that are well below what would be market rate for new materials, and some that are very nice, high-end, beautiful, historic materials that are ideal for keeping historic homes in in-kind repair, and they're really special and don't deserve to be thrown in the trash. Next slide, please. We also do this because demolition represents a public health concern, that toxic dust cloud that sort of is released when a building is crushed and dumped, adversely affects low-income populations and minority populations. Deconstruction by alternative doesn't have that sort of effect because it doesn't produce a cloud of dust. So we're looking at a lot of net benefits here. Next slide, please. We, rather than go in with a backhoe, crush the thing and put it in the landfill, we go in with crowbars and my lovely crew of really strong and powerful women. And we take these structures apart almost entirely by hand. We very rarely even run a generator. It's very quiet. It's very clean. It's a little bit slower, than traditional demolition, but it results in so many net benefits. Next slide, please. The construction and demolition industry is a $7.4 billion industry. Only 10% of those jobs are held by women, and only 1 in 100 of the on-site workers are women. So most jobs in the industry are office jobs, which are great jobs. But there are great jobs in this industry, and there is a gender gap. So our training program seeks to elevate women in this industry by providing specialized training to help women become really high quality candidates for the job market. And as we all know, there's sort of a labor crisis in construction right now. So we're really happy to be producing high quality candidates who can go to work for our many wonderful companies here in Savannah. Next slide. Here's some of my crew hard at work on the job site. They're really awesome. Some of them are listening today, so thanks guys. And some of them are on site taking houses apart right now in Savannah that would otherwise be going to the trash. Next slide. We are funded by a number of grant organizations. We've received the Gulfstream grant 3 times. We've received the Cliff Bar Family Foundation grant 2x. We've recently been funded by the American Association of University Women and the Historic Preservation Education Foundation. We're very proud to be receiving this funding, and we really want to make the absolute best use of this funding, which is one of the reasons why it'd be really disruptive to try to move. Of course, you know, we'll do what we have to do to be in compliance, but we very much are focused, and we're very organized and strategic, and would really appreciate the opportunity to continue on our mission. Next slide, please. I just wanted to indicate a couple of ways in which we've already received recognition for our work, both at the local level. A number of Savannah organizations, news outlets have done features on us, and then also in a broader context, at the state level, also at the national level, and even internationally. We've been invited to speak, present our practices as best practices in the community, as an ideal way to marry historic preservation with structural removal in those instances when buildings fall through the cracks, or for whatever reason there isn't a will to save them, that this is a better way to handle what are very precious materials, very precious histories, stories, narratives. And we do a lot of research to support our work. I will be very happy to answer any questions. I'd like to keep it short for you all, and thank you very much for the time. Next slide. If you have any curiosity beyond what you'd like to ask today, I invite you all to please check us out online. We have a pretty robust online presence, so we try to be really transparent for our community and visible and accessible. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Boley. Do we have any questions from board members? The chairman would like to know from the owner, perhaps, how long ago did Daniel go out of business? Are we beyond, well beyond that 12 months requirement?
And Mr. Chair, this is Josh Yellen. I am not positive when Daniel Lumber went out of business there. I believe Mr. Rosenzweig purchased the property in 2013, but I'm not sure when operations ceased. And I think I should caveat that point with under the ordinance, there is the time limit as provided in the nonconformity section is greater than 12 months. So long as that business has ceased and the time period has been greater than 12 months, then you may restate that use. I don't think that there is a cap on that duration.
That's my point. I want to make sure we're beyond that 12 months. Has any building been delegated or redesigned on this site?
Based on the photographs before, I believe some of these buildings must have been in disrepair and they came down. But these buildings that are currently in use are the exact same as they were when they were utilized by Daniel Lumber. Even in these storage areas that you can see, they're still utilized in the same exact manner.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you, Ms. Boley. Do we have anyone speaking in support of the petition this morning?
If you're online and would like to speak in support of this petition, please use the raise your hand feature and the chairman will recognize you.
Mr. Harvey,
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is Ryan Arve with Historic Savannah Foundation. I don't want to prolong these proceedings, but I just felt I would be remiss if I didn't join you this morning to voice our support for this petition and our support for the property owner and repurpose Savannah. Our mission at Historic Savannah Foundation of saving historic buildings is a challenging one, and we cannot save every historic building as much as we'd like to. And it is vital that an organization such as Repurpose Savannah exists to salvage as much of these historic materials as possible. And I have seen firsthand, having visited the lumberyard many times, I have seen property owners reuse this lumber and these materials in their restoration projects. These are materials that you cannot get any longer. And I've seen flooring and trim work and woodwork created out of the lumber that they sell. And it is a vital community resource. As I said, I've been to the property many times, and I can attest that they are good neighbors. It is a quiet operation. It is a sensitive operation environmentally, as well as just being adjacent to people's homes. It is a low impact use, but it is, as has been laid out, very, very similar to that longtime use of Daniel Lumber. And I just hope that you will see to it that they are able to continue using this property as they have been, and that there will be no disruption to their business, and we'll be able to continue seeing them make a difference in the community for years to come. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Any other questions of Mr. Arve? Rebecca Fenwick.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Are you speaking in favor of the petitioner?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Go forward, please.
Good morning. I'm speaking in favor because this is the only organization that I know of that is offering this service, and it is unique and innovative. I was involved in another project prior to Repurpose existing, and we had to divert materials to Jacksonville, Florida. It was the only location that would accept the material, and it was something that we wanted to do as part of a project, and there was no way to do it. So they are serving a very unique and exceptional offering to our city. I cannot say enough the importance of diverting this material from the landfill. I know May spoke to that already, but this contributes greatly to the sustainability of our city, and not only that, they are operating as a nonprofit. And I think it would be very detrimental to see them have to be moved. I think it could greatly hinder their operations. Thank you.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Fenwick from staff or board members? Thank you, Ms. Fenwick, for your time. Kirsten Connor. Ms. Connor, you there?
Ms. Connor, your mic is
Ms.
muted.
Ms. Connor, please unmute yourself, please. All right, Ms. Connor, I understand you do not have a microphone. Okay, then we'll have to move. Pardon?
Seems like she provided a message in the chat for the record.
Okay, yeah. I understand there's a message in the record from Ms. Connor recommending approval of this petitioner's request. Are there any other speakers in favor of the petitioner this morning? All right. Okay. Is Brianna Grosicki online, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can. Are you here to speak for or against the petitioner's petition?
For the petitioner.
All right. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you. My name is Brianna Grosicki. I'm here in my capacity as chairwoman of Preservation Action. We are America's grassroots lobby for historic preservation, and I'm a Savannah resident. I've interacted with Repurpose Savannah for the past 2 to 3 years, and I just want to commend them for their work and how much momentum they have. We have been utilizing Repurpose Savannah and sharing their story as a national best practice for deconstruction firms across the country. And May Boley has participated in meetings with me, speaking about their great work with our members of Congress, with members of the Department of Interior. So I really encourage you all to not break their momentum that they have moving now, and grant them the petition to remain and conduct business at this site. It would be a sad story for their momentum to be broken. The second point I want to make is, again, kind of urging you guys not to let this property have a death by zoning. If this moves to residential, my fear is that it will sit vacant for many years. This property is in a flood zone. The market strength on this side of town is not high at the moment. And I fear that if Repurpose Savannah was not able to continue operating their business here, that this property would just sit vacant. And that's not going to help the neighborhood right now. The light business use that they have here, I think, brings a strength node to the neighborhood and offers employment opportunities for the residents. And I would just encourage anyone, if you haven't been down there, go visit and see for yourself the operations that are taking place. So thank you for your time, and please allow this non-conforming use.
Thank you, Ms. Grosicki. Any questions of Ms. Grosicki? All right. Anyone else to speak in favor of this petition? Do we have anyone to speak in opposition to the petition this morning?
If you'd like to speak in opposition to this petition, please use the raise your hand feature and the chairman will recognize you.
I understand from staff that we have no one online this morning to speak in opposition. All right. Then I will close the evidence. Do we have any discussion from members of the board regarding this petition? All right. Now, this is a little bit different, Mr. Lotson, than usual. A motion would be to reverse the decision of the zoning administrator and approve a non-conforming use and direct the zoning administrator to issue a permit. Would that be appropriate?
That could be a motion, yes, sir. The board can either uphold, reverse, or modify the zoning administrator's right. decision.
But the motion is aimed directly at the zoning administrator's decision in this case, which for the record it was to deny a business permit.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion from anyone on the board regarding this petition?
I would like to recommend that we reverse the zoning administrator's position and issue this building permit.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I ask Mr. Natrika to modify that language regarding the motion? I believe you said building permit.
Of course.
And this would be a business approval.
Absolutely. I will modify that to a business tax certificate.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have to define the use here in any way, Mr. Chairman? I mean, there seemed to be a question about the appropriate use.
Well, I think if Mr. Natrika's motion is upheld, it's really just reversing the action of the zoning administrator and and having him to allow the use. So I don't believe the board would need to go into making a determination as to the classification of the use.
We have a motion on the floor to reverse the decision of the zoning administrator to deny the business permit of the applicant. And we have a second by Mr. Pelote, I believe.
Yes, sir.
All right. And let's put it to a vote. Mr. Pelote, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Nderzicka?
Aye.
All right. Ms. Stone?
Aye.
And chairman votes aye. Petitioner's petition passes. The motion decision is to reverse the decision of the zoning administrators. And the Board of Zoning Appeals instructs the zoning administrator to issue a building permit for the proposed uses.
Thank you.
Anything else on this matter?
No, sir.
Mr. Yellen, you're okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you all very much.
All right. And thank you for your patience this morning to get this matter handled on this date. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Next matter, Mr. Lotson.
Mr. Chairman, the next item on your agenda is a petitioner for 6 Brisbane Court. They are requesting a 7.5-foot front yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement in conjunction with the additions proposed in an existing single-family residence. The proposed new front yard setback at the location that I'm going to describe would be 17.5 feet if approved. This is an aerial image of the subject property at 6 Brisbane Court. Brisbane Court is here on the right-hand side. This property is located in the Landing subdivision. The proposed encroachment is on the northwest corner of the residence, and the applicant is proposing a new 404 square foot garage at this location where you see a car parked here roughly right now. And I'm going to show you a site plan here in just a second. Approximately 72 square feet of the proposed structure as designed encroaches into the 25-foot front yard setback. Here we go. So this is a site plan that shows the structure as it exists today. The applicant is proposing a new addition at this location. And there are other improvements that are happening on this plan, but they don't require variances and are not relevant to what the petitioner is requesting today. But this is the proposed location of the new garage. It's a one-story garage, as I mentioned, 404 square feet in size. You can see the setback line here, this dotted line. And as you'll notice, it's a curved line because the roadway curves in front of the property at this location. I bring that up because, as you'll also notice, the existing garage sits behind the setback line, even though it is further forward of the structure than the proposed garage. Because that line curves along the street, there's a greater point of encroachment in this location than the existing garage to the south. You'll also notice that the applicant has proposed a covered walk between the garage and the residence. We had a discussion, the applicant and I, about why not move this building back toward the structure to be out of the setback line. The reason for that, and it made complete sense after we discussed it, is the turning radius to enter the garage would not be possible if you moved it back closer to the existing residence. This is an elevation that shows the proposed addition. which is essentially a mirror image of the existing garage across the driveway here. As I mentioned, this property is in the Landing subdivision. The declaration of covenants that are administered by the Landings require that their architectural review committee approve this design and the encroachment. And although that's not related specifically to the requirements of our ordinance, they do have to obtain that prior to obtaining a building permit. That's approval is required by their covenants and guidelines. It appears to staff that adjacent residences are not likely to be impacted by this proposal. As you can see, at this location where the proposal is, the closest adjacent residences are not very nearby. Because the right-of-way of Brisbane Court curves, you have that varying setback. And as I mentioned, the existing garage sits farther forward, although it does not encroach. The proposed garage is adjacent to that curve, which has a greater impact on the setback. In review of the site and the proposed encroachment, we don't believe that negative impacts are likely and that the relief should be granted based on the impact of Brisbane Road at this location in terms of the change in the setback. Based on those findings, staff is recommending approval of the 7.5-foot front yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question concerning the right-of-way. Is this a private drive?
No, this is a, well, let's see, let me scratch that. As I understand it, yes, all the streets within the Landing subdivision are private.
Okay. If you pull the aerial photo back up, please. I see a palm tree adjacent to this vehicle where the garage would go.
There.
And I see the road to the right of that.
Yes.
And you can't see where the road goes. Is this a throughway to something else?
It serves as access for other properties. It's a cul-de-sac down here. So you can see a home here, which is the next closest house to this property. But it ends in a cul-de-sac just under that tree line.
Okay. And comparing that to the schematic that you had up above, providing some impediment to travel along that roadway?
No, sir. The line you see here is the 25-foot setback line.
Okay.
And we've highlighted
that's a setback line. Got it.
And yep. So we've highlighted that to show.
Okay. So the roadway is not impacted at all.
That's correct.
Okay. That's my point.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions of staff? All right. Mr. Claus, you're here for the petitioner. Step up, Mr. please.
Mr. Claus had to leave. This is Brian Felder.
You are?
The architect.
Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
Marcus did a pretty fantastic and comprehensive job. I will, if it's all right with you, just answer questions from the board. I don't have anything to add. I think you did a great job.
All right. Any questions from the board this morning? Okay. So long as we don't encroach that roadway in any way, do we have any opposition from any neighbors?
We did not receive any correspondence in support or opposition from adjoining property owners, Mr. Sherman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
This is Brian Felder again. If I could add, the Landings has approved this, these additions and the setback variance.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Do you have anyone else that you'd like to present this morning?
No, sir.
All right. Any questions from staff or the board? All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. I'll close the evidence. Any discussion from the board? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, did we open for the public if there's any?
Did we? Is there anyone online?
If there are any members of the public that would like to speak, please use the raise your hand feature and the chairman will recognize you.
Was there someone? No. All right. Then the evidence is closed. Any discussion from the board? Do I hear a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we take staff's recommendation to approve.
All right. So we are, your motion is to approve the requested 7.5-foot front yard setback variance from the 25-foot required setback variance or setback requirement, correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Notricka seconds that motion. Then roll call vote, please. Mr. Pelote?
Aye.
Mr. Notricka?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Aye.
And chairman votes aye. So the variance is approved. Go forward and build your garage.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other matters on the agenda this morning? Mr. Lotson?
No more business items, but I do want to take a moment, if I may, and recognize Jessica Hagen. This is her last meeting for the Zoning Board of Appeals today. She has decided to move on from the Planning Commission. And so I just want to thank her for all the help and most of the things that you guys don't see that happens behind the scenes that gets us through these meetings. She's been responsible for a lot of that. So I just wanted to let the board know. I was hoping we'd have the day, but I will certainly pass that on to them as well. Well,
congratulations on your move and thank you for all of your hard work behind the scenes to make us look as good as we can possibly look, which is quite a feat sometimes. Where are you going? Stay home. All right. All right. And your replacement has been named. Would you introduce yourself?
Miss Mary Mitchell, who is a longtime MPC employee,
okay,
knows all this stuff, you know, so she'll be helping us out in the transition.
All right. Very good. Welcome, Miss Mitchell. Look forward to working with you. All right. Any other business this morning?
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.